Could I ask you please to put up the last song? And it's just the last part up where it's speaking about I am yours, all that I have I place into your loving hands. Thank you. This is a word for somebody. As we were singing that song, the song is us singing that to God, okay? But there's somebody here who needs to know that God is singing that to you. God is singing to you, I am yours. I am yours. And all that I have, I place into your loving hands. That's what God is speaking to someone here today. If there's more than one, that's wonderful. If you want to claim that, you claim that. It's for you. If there's a stirring in your spirit, then it's for you. But it's God singing that to you. He's saying to you that he is yours. And that into you, he is placing everything. Into your hands, he's placing all of himself. Isn't that beautiful? I pray that that blesses somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the welcome, John really preached my sermon. So, hallelujah. But there's still more that God wants to say. When we came back from Colorado, I came back to the news that there was fraudulent activity going on in my bank account. Now, hands up, who in this room has had fraudulent activity on their bank account? So I am not alone. What is fraudulent activity? What does that mean? Well, it means that there's an intention to deceive. Fraud is criminal deception. It is fake. It is counterfeit. It is forged. And it's an imitation. Now, the blessing about the fraudulent activity on my bank account was that my bank were sharp. My bank were alert. Because there were four times that my card was used, but it was for pennies. One of them was for 28 pence. I mean, who would use a bank card for 28 pence? But do you know what? For my bank, that rang alarm bells. And my bank were thinking, what's going on here? That's a rather strange amount. There was another possible transaction for 68 pence. And this happened in the Royal Resort in Las Vegas. Now, at that time, I was in the States, but my bank card wasn't. My bank card was left in Dumfries. Because I don't take my bank card. Why do I need my bank card? But what a blessing that my bank were on the ball.
Amen.
What a blessing that my bank were sharp. So, of course, you have to go through the cancelling your old card, getting a new PIN number, you know, which is not fun because, you know, for all of these years, you've remembered that other PIN number. They tell you that you can change it, but you know what? I just thought, oh. But fraudulent activity, the Lord showed me, goes on in our lives every day. There's a fraudulent activity that's going on in our minds. It's going on in our minds, it's going on in our thoughts, it's going on in our hearts, and it's going on in our emotions. And you know what? It's pure deception from the enemy who wants to take you away from the life of Christ that is yours.
Right. Amen.
That's the purpose for his fraudulent activity. Yeah. And God showed me that by that very simple thing about my bank card trying to be used. Yeah. Here's the good news for you. You have got a bank account with heaven.
Amen.
And all of heaven is in that bank account. God has placed everything into your hands. It's in your hands. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. But are you keeping a hold of it? Are you protecting it? Are you looking after it? Are you making sure that it's kept safe? Or do you allow fraudulent activity to go on?
That's good, Susan.
These were small amounts. And can I tell you, the fraudulent activity will come into your life with the small things.
Amen.
It's the tiny little niggly things that just get to you.
Amen.
Gemma's in agreement here. Gemma's in agreement. Do you know the thing that blessed me about Gemma? The day after our ladies' meeting, she sent me a message of encouragement. Because she had come to the meeting as one person and she left as a different person.
Amen.
Is that not God's heart for all of us? Every moment of every day, that we would continue to be changed from one degree of glory to the next. Hallelujah. So that's what I heard about my bank card trying to be used with false transactions. Well, how many false transactions is the enemy trying to use your bank account? Your spiritual bank account. How many times is he using your bank card? We have got everything in a spiritual bank account. It's in the heavenly realms. That's why we need to live there. One of my favourite scriptures, Ephesians 1:3. I'm going to run through scriptures like Belial today, because there's so much to get through. So you don't need to put the scriptures up on the board, so that frees you up at the desk. Bless you. But take a note of them.
Amen.
And you do your own study. Because as much as these are things that the Lord has been showing me, he wants to show you things too. Because you've got fraudulent activity that's maybe going on in your life that's maybe not going on in my life. Maybe I've got a different kind of fraudulent activity going on in my life. And that's for me to deal with. But Ephesians 1:3 tells us that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And when you read verse 13, it tells me that it's sealed by the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? That means it can't be touched. It can't be changed. It can't be changed. But do you know what can happen? It can be destroyed. It can be destroyed by fraudulent activity. It doesn't change what's going on in the spirit realm. It doesn't change what we have from heaven. But it changes depending on where our mind, where our heart, and where our thoughts are. That's where it's affected. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And we know that over the last few months that John has been bringing out that stealing, it's not that he comes in and takes it, but it's that we just give it up to him. We surrender it to him because we don't fight. We're weary and we're tired and we can't be bothered fighting anymore. Life is a struggle and it's hard and it's difficult and we're overwhelmed and we're consumed. But do you know what that is? It's fraudulent activity, because it's not the truth. It is not the truth. John 8:44 says this. When he lies, speaking of the enemy, when he lies, he speaks in his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Do you know what jumped out to me from that scripture? That he speaks in his native language. Well, here's the good news for me and you. We don't speak that language anymore. Because we've been placed in the heavenly realms.
Amen.
The language that we are supposed to be speaking is the language of love. So if you're listening to the lies of the enemy, when he speaks to you in his native language, then you're identifying with your old self. And that is how you allow fraudulent activity to go on in your mind and your heart. Can I tell you something? The enemy doesn't care a jot about you. All that he wants to do in your life is to cause havoc. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy the life of Christ that is longing to be lived in its fullness in your life, because that's where the victory is for you. He can only speak lies. He only speaks lies because he's the father of lies. But how many times do we get sucked in by a lie? I want to do a little, I just want to do a visual aid. Tim, can I have you as part of my visual aid? Promise you, there's nothing to worry about. Larry, can I have you? The reason why I've picked Tim and Larry is very simple. It's because of their names. Tim begins with a T, and Tim is truth. Okay? Oh. Sorry, Larry. Sorry, Larry. It had to be someone, and I know that Larry will forgive me. So here we have truth, and we have lies. Okay? So we're standing on the truth, and that truth never changes. Amen. That truth is always a truth, as long as you believe it. But then we have a lie that tries to come in. It's okay, Larry, we love you. We don't love your lies, but we love you. Here the lie comes in, and all of a sudden, a little bit of that lie gets into our mind, or it gets into our heart, or it gets into our emotions, and it starts to do a work, which is nothing but pure evil.
Amen.
Nothing but pure evil. And do you know what happens? We get so convinced by this lie that lie then becomes a truth. I can hear you agreeing with me. I can see it in your faces. I know that this is speaking to you.
Amen.
So we get sucked into the lie. And do you know what happens with that lie? It leads to another lie. It leads to deception. We open ourselves up to all manner of things which only has its root in a lie. But we've decided to believe that lie. And when we join in with that lie and believe that lie and allow that lie to become our truth, we've walked away from the truth. Truth is still standing, but we are no longer standing with truth. We are standing with the lie. And that's the greatest deception that the enemy can use in your life and in my life. Thank you. You're free from being the father of lies. Hallelujah. I hope that that helped you. I hope that you just saw that sometimes we move without even realizing that we move. We move from that position of truth, which is steadfast and true and certain, and yet we give it up because we've been convinced of the lies, which is just wanting to cause havoc. The enemy doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about you. But what he doesn't want you to have is the truth, because it's the truth that will set you free. And it's the truth where you find your life. He'll mess with your mind, he'll mess with your heart, and he'll mess with your emotions. And he will take you down a road of destruction in every area of your life. Fraudulent activity will come through deception, will come through lies, but do you know what? Then that takes you into fear, it takes you into worry, it takes you into anxiety, it takes you into everything that God is not. And we get consumed by it, and then we wonder, why is my life like this? Why are these things going on? Do you know what? He is so subtle. And he is so relentless. But as John always says, he's not the only one who's relentless. We need to be relentless. But we can only be relentless when we're standing on the truth. If you veer from the truth, then you are putting yourself down a wrong path. Your life is in the truth. Hallelujah. He longs to isolate you. He longs to alienate you. And he longs to separate you from the life that is truly yours. He doesn't give a jot about you. He doesn't give a jot. So let's not listen to that native language, but let's listen to the language of love. Because that language of love is speaking to you every moment of every day. But do we hear it? Do we hear it? Are we inclining our ear to hear what the Lord is saying? Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 4, that his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And then it goes on to say, in a stranger's voice they will not follow. Well, for me and you, because we are believers, we belong to Jesus. And he's our shepherd. Amen. And it's his voice that we need to be listening to. So there's a question. What voice are you listening to today? What voice are you listening to as you're trying to work through an issue of life? Who are you listening to? What voice are you hearing? Because the voice that you hear is the voice that you will follow. So you will either follow the voice of truth or you will follow the voice of lies. If I allow him entry, and I'm talking me here, okay? If I allow him entry into my life, then I am empowering him to do with me whatever he wants to do. And I should not be surprised at being destroyed by him. We are the ones who give him entry. Because we just give it up to him. Because either we're fed up of fighting, we've had enough, nothing works. This truth that I've been standing on, when am I seeing the manifestation? We think all sorts of things. But if they're contrary to the word of God, then I'm sorry, but their root is in a lie. Amen. Their root is in a lie. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Did you note that the scripture said he has blinded the minds of unbelievers? So you see, there's hope for you because you're a believer. And you now have the mind of Christ in the heavenly realms. But is that where your mind is? Is your mind in the heavenly realms? He cannot enter into your mind in the heavenly realms because your mind is the mind of Christ. But he gets you in your emotions, he gets you in your feelings, then believe me, you, he will get into your mind. But he can't do that when you're in the spirit. He cannot do that. He cannot infiltrate the mind of Christ. He only infiltrates our sinful minds. But that's the old you. That's not the new you. You are a new creation. You're not who you used to be. You have been made new. You are a child of God. You have the mind of Christ. But you have to stay there. You have to stay there. So rejoice that you are no longer an unbeliever. Amen. Romans 12:2 tells us not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul really knew how important it was to renew your mind. I wonder, how important do we see it in our daily life? How important do you see it? I'm looking after me. I can't look after you. I'm looking after me. Because we need to continue on a daily basis to allow our minds to be renewed by the washing of the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God which is the truth. And that truth will never fail. That truth will never spoil, perish, or fade. It will remain forever and ever and ever. And that's where you and me are meant to be. We're getting better. Amen? We're getting better. Is there more work to be done? There is for me. I'm talking me here. There's more work to be done. I'm not the finished article. Hallelujah. John 14, verse 6. Beautiful words from Jesus himself. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. It's not your way, it's not your truth, and it's not your life. It's got to be his. Amen. Our thoughts have got to become his thoughts. Our ways have got to become his ways. That can only be done in the Spirit. It can only be done in the Spirit as you just let God do what he wants to do. Because he knows far better than you what he wants to do. He just needs our cooperation. He doesn't need our help. He just needs our cooperation. Hallelujah. What I'm going to do now is I'm just going to quickly run through scriptures because you don't need to hear my opinion. I want you to hear God in this. I want you to be moved by the Holy Spirit in this. So therefore, if I give you the word of God, which is the truth, then I believe that the Holy Spirit will bring revelation to each and every one of you that will help you and show you where maybe you've been allowing fraudulent activity to go on in your life. Hallelujah. The first one is Hebrews 4, verse 12. Very familiar portion of scripture. We can probably all quote it. For the word of God is living and active. Hallelujah for that, that the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Listen to this. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's why it's a wee bit painful, because it's a double-edged sword. You see, it's a wee bit painful when these things are being prodded at with a double-edged sword. Or maybe I'm the only one that feels it. Verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom he must give account. Here's a question. Are your thoughts and the attitudes of your heart always aligning up with the truth of the word of God? Don't answer. It's between you and God. Hallelujah. As it is between me and God. But we need to let the sword. This is the sword. It's the word of God, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. The S before the word makes it into the sword. It's the Spirit and the word that makes it the sword. We need to let that sword keep us in God's love. Because when we are kept in that place of love, there will be no room for fraudulent activity. Amen. Fraudulent activity cannot exist where there is love. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5, 8. Warnings to be self-controlled and alert. My bank was alert in stopping the fraudulent activity. But I need to be alert in the spirit to stop fraudulent activity in my life. Amen. The King James Version says to be sober, vigilant, which means having a watchful attitude and being on the outlook to stop the enemy gaining entry into your life. That's quite good advice. Yes, that's a pretty good warning to take heed of. Yeah, you know, warnings in the Word are there so that we can take heed of them. Yes, yeah, that's a lovely warning. Put it on the shelf. No, we need to take heed of these warnings. That's why they're in the Word of God. They're there to help me and you. So be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And can I tell you, he wants that someone to be you. He wants that someone to be you. He thinks that you're quite a tasty morsel. And that if he can get his jaws into you, then believe me, he will take every piece of flesh from you and he will just leave your bones. But here's verse 9. Hallelujah, it doesn't stop there. Verse 9 says, resist him. Standing firm in the faith. Hallelujah. There's your answer. That's how we stop the enemy prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you and me. We resist him, standing firm in the faith. Where will you find the faith? In the truth. You won't find faith in lies, because your lies will take you down a route of fear. And fear is opposite of faith. So that's another good reason to steer clear of that side. Keep on the side of truth. We need to stand up. We need to stand tall in the truth of the word and command him to leave. That's the authority that we've got. Oh, no, but, you know, I can't do that. It's too hard. No. If you're believing in Jesus, if you know who you are in Christ, if you believe in what the word says, then you have been given the power and the authority to trample on scorpions and snakes and to destroy the works of the enemy. That's your right as a child of God. That's one of the things that's in your bank account. Yes, authority. It's in your bank account. Are you drawing from it? Are you writing a check? Write yourself a check from your heavenly bank account. We need to be determined to stay alert, to be watchful, and to be constantly on guard, because he has already been defeated. You see, that's the deception that he gets us into thinking that he's still got power. No, he's only got power if you and I give him power.
Amen.
His power's been taken away.
Amen.
You're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory.
Hallelujah.
He has been defeated.
Yes, he has.
Indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's only like a roaring lion. It doesn't mean that he is. Hallelujah. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15. Again, it's a little warning to catch the little foxes. The little foxes. All of those little niggly wee things that try to come in, spoil and mar, destroy. It says, catch the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. What's the vineyards? It's your life. It's your heart. It's your well-being. It's all that you are in him. And the little foxes want to ruin that. What's the fruit of the vineyard? It's all of the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus is our new wine. He is our new wine. And John's illustration last week, where he had all the fruits of the Spirit all in order, and then when you saw what happened when you looked at the opposite of all of the fruits of the Spirit, all of that mess, all of that mayhem, all of that chaos, all of that havoc, that's the fraudulent activity that we have begun to clear out, yes?
Amen.
We've begun to clear it out. Hallelujah. So we have to catch the little foxes, because if we don't catch them, we will cause destruction. So for me and you, we've got a job not to neglect our vineyard. Don't neglect your vineyard. Psalm 119, verse 16 reminds us not to neglect the word. And peace is only one of the fruits of the Spirit. But do you know what? Fraudulent activity will take away your peace as quick as you can say anything. As quick as you can say your name, your peace can be taken away because of fraudulent activity. But we need not to forfeit that peace, because we have that peace because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
The Prince of Peace dwells inside you and me. So if I'm tapping into my heavenly bank account, then I have got all the peace that I need. I've got all of these fruits of the Spirit. They are in abundant supply. They will always be there. But I'm a drawing on them. I'm a drawing on them from the wells of our salvation. Hallelujah. Remember, you're not fighting for victory, but from victory. So let's see what instruction we get from the word. These are only a few scriptures that I have here. There are millions more. And I want to encourage you to seek out the scriptures that the Lord wants you to find. The scriptures that will be more pertinent to you. The scriptures that will speak right into your heart, right into your mind, into your emotions, so that the Spirit can reveal to you which fraudulent activity is going on inside of you. Ephesians 4:22 tells us you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted, listen to this, by its deceitful desires. Deceitful, deception, lies. Where does it come from? It comes from the enemy. It is not who you now are. Verse 23 says, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Please, please note that you can only be deceived in your old self. Your new self cannot be deceived, because in your spirit you're perfect. Any amens to that? Does that excite anyone, that in your spirit you're perfect? It excites me, because I know that that's the only place it's likely to be perfect. I know my faults and failings. I know my weaknesses. But I also know that the perfect one lives inside of me, and I have the ability to live my life as he lives his. And that's the call. Why else are we here? So hallelujah, you cannot be deceived when walking in the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. That's good instruction. Empty words. Words that are contrary to what the Word of God says. And yet these empty words, if you take them on and fuel them, you can set fire to everything that is good, and you can just cause havoc. The enemy will use you to cause havoc. Yep. It's still the enemy, but I'm sorry, he uses you and me. Hallelujah. Not hallelujah that he uses us. Didn't mean that. So don't give fuel to empty words, otherwise you'll start a fire. And goodness knows where that fire will go to. But 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. Not just the ones we want to take captive, but we take captive every thought that is contrary to the word of God, and we make it obedient to Christ. Because we determine that that's where we're living. We demolish the lies and we remain obedient to the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
2 Timothy 3 verses 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. The things that you have learned and become convinced of in the truth, stay there. Remain there. That's where the power is. That's where the victory is. Because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From the moment you get born again, in your infancy, you knew truth. You knew truth. You accepted Jesus as your Saviour. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So from that day, you started to know truth. Real truth. The truth that comes through Jesus Christ. And the more you read of the Word of God, the more you believe the Word of God, the more of these truths are entering in and bringing you revelation. The Bible shows you how you're meant to live. Very simply, we're meant to be like Jesus. Very simple to say, not quite so simple to do. But verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why do they have all of that? For verse 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You're being equipped for every good work. You're being thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that everything that God asks of you, you are able to do. Why? Because you are thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're not supposed to be thoroughly equipped for every evil work. We're meant to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. Jude, verse 20 says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Is there another way to pray? Well, maybe there is. Maybe sometimes our prayers are not in the Holy Spirit. You ask God. You ask God to help you in your prayers. We need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Verse 21 says, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. So there we are. We're meant to build ourselves up and we're called to keep ourselves in God's love. These are things you and I have to do. God will not do them. As much as that might be very nice, God says, no, these are things that you have to do. You build yourself up. You keep yourself in God's love. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we're meant to keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit will keep us away from keeping in step with anything else. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We're meant to hold on unswervingly. How are you doing with that one? Or do you let it go every now and again? Do you forget about it? Do you allow fraudulent activity to take you away from the truth? Do you allow it to be stolen? Do you give them entry where you shouldn't be giving them entry? 1 Peter 4 in my Bible is entitled Loving for God. That's why we're here. That we would live for God, that others may see God in us. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, the end of all things is near. And believe me, the end of all things is much nearer now than it ever was. Okay? You just need to look at the world around us. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. I found that really interesting. That we need to be clear-minded and self-controlled. Well, see, when the enemy's having a field day, I'm sorry, you're not clear-minded. There's no way you're clear-minded. It's muddy waters. Everything's just chaos and havoc. And you don't know if you're coming or going. Anybody ever felt that they don't know if they're coming or going? You don't know what's going on, what's happening here? We need to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray. See the importance of prayer here? Because you know what? The enemy will convince you to be worried about something. And you'll be so worried about what you're worrying about that you actually forget to pray about it. Well, why? If it's not important enough to pray about, why is it important enough to worry about? Fraudulent activity. Causing havoc. Verse 8 from 1 Peter 4 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. Do you know what? I have got so many scriptures here. I'm going to concise it. Proverbs 2 speaks a lot about wisdom and how God gives us wisdom and from his mouth comes understanding. And we have to realise that it's not from our mouth, but it's from his mouth that comes understanding. It's his wisdom. And he holds victory in store for the upright. Who's the upright? Yeah. All of your hands should be up. It's you. You're the upright. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But are you listening to fraudulent activity that's telling you otherwise? Are you listening to lies that are taking you away from who you really are? He holds victory in store for the upright, and he is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Where is your walk blameless? Not in the flesh. It's in the spirit realm. We can't do anything right in the flesh because it's contrary to the spirit. Verse 8 says, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Faithful ones. Are you being faithful? That will keep you from fraudulent activity. Verse 11 says, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you all to read Proverbs 8, because Proverbs 8 is all about wisdom, but it's godly wisdom, okay? It's not the things that you and I know, it's not intellectual things that we have learned, but it's godly wisdom. And here's one or two things that it tells us in Proverbs 8. It tells us that wisdom, dwell together with prudence, that I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. To have a reverent fear in the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride and arrogance, evil behaviour and perverse speech. Now, where does all of that come from? You know, is it from the side of truth or is it from the side of the lies? It's quite easy to discern. Verse 19 tells us that the fruit of wisdom is better than gold, and its yield surpasses choice silver. Hallelujah. It also tells us that when we stay in that godly wisdom, then it's wisdom that bestows wealth on those who love wisdom, making their treasuries full. Do you want full treasuries? Are you realizing that your bank account in heaven is full?
Hallelujah.
It's full to overflowing.
Amen.
There's nothing that you lack in your spiritual bank account.
Amen.
All that you need is up there. But it's not just up there, it's in here. Because the kingdom of God is within. Hallelujah. Thanks be to Jesus. It tells us that wisdom is of greater worth than gold, silver, or rubies. These things are nothing compared to godly wisdom. And there's a warning, another warning. So are we going to heed the warning or are we just going to push it aside? Our choice. Verse 35 in Proverbs 8 says, "For whoever finds me," meaning wisdom, "whoever finds me finds life and receives favour from the Lord." And here's the warning. "But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate will love, all who hate and love death." Are you wanting to harm yourself? Do you see how important it is to have godly wisdom? And that godly wisdom you will only find in the Spirit. You need the Word of God to show you the godly wisdom. We do not possess godly wisdom in our own selves. It only comes by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I need to move on quickly. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life." That came out of the teachings that John has done over the last three times John has spoken regarding the wells. Because you see, our wells are supposed to be bubbling and overflowing with that life of Christ all of the time. And praise God, over the last few weeks, we have been dealing with some of the blockages to the wells, some of the things, all that muck and grime and grit and big stones and whatever that want to stop the waters in the well. But I believe that fraudulent activity is very subtle. And we sometimes don't even realise that fraudulent activity has even been in our life or may still be in our life. We don't realise what we empower with our words, with our thoughts, with our actions. Because here's the thing, it's not just about thinking something, you know, and then you think, well, at least I didn't do it. No, if you thought about it, that's just the same as doing it. If you're thinking about adultery, it's just the same as going through adultery. So don't give yourself a pat on the back for, well, I only thought it, because you shouldn't be thinking it. It's from the wrong side. It's not from the side of truth. You've kind of stepped over and moved into this side, which is always rooted in lies and deception. So we need to guard our heart. And in Timothy, I love this in Timothy twice And 2 Timothy 1 speaks about guarding the good deposit. Well, that good deposit that was entrusted in me and you, it's our spiritual bank account. It's all of these blessings in the heavenly realms which come down to you and me by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. That's the only way we get them. We can never earn them. We will never deserve them. But we are given them. God entrusts them to you and me. What are we doing with what he has entrusted? What are we doing with that investment that he has invested in to each one of us? That's actually another teaching, all about the investment. But he has deposited everything in me and you, and we are the ones who are called to protect it and to stop it from being stolen from the enemy. We need to stop the fraudulent activity before it happens. You and I have that ability in us to stop that fraudulent activity. We need to hold on to the things of the kingdom. We need to hold on to that godly wisdom and see them more important than gold and silver and rubies. We need to see the value of what we have in Christ Jesus and how that is our very life. And if we will stay there, then we will only know life. Is that not what we all want to know? Life in all its fullness. Hallelujah. So we need to listen to the warnings that come from the Holy Spirit. If you're not at peace about something, then don't move. You need to discern what voice you're listening to. You need to discern where it's coming from. If you need wisdom, then you ask for it. James says, any of you lacking wisdom, then ask God for it. It's simple. But we sometimes don't even think about it. We need to act quick. We need to be like how my bank was when my card was going to be used. Not by the owner. You see, you are the owner of heaven. You're going to allow something to come in and take what's yours. Would you go to bed at night and not lock up your doors, just open them up so that anyone can come in and take whatever they want? You know, would you do that? No, of course you wouldn't. But we can do it with our minds. We can do it with our hearts. We can do it with how we're feeling, or how we think we're feeling. Well, do you know what? Today is the day when fraudulent activity stops in our lives. That's your choice. Today can be the day that fraudulent activity stops. Do you know when we get it wrong? When we think things that we shouldn't be thinking? We just need to repent. We just need to say, sorry, God. I'm not going that way anymore. I've decided to turn my back on that, because that's what repentance is. It's turning your back and it's going in a different direction. So do you know what? If you've been allowing fraudulent activity, don't beat yourself up about it, because the enemy wants you to beat yourself up about it. And yet he was the one who made you think about it in the first place. You see how evil he is? You see how he really doesn't give a jot about you? He'll be the very one that sows these things into you, and then you fall hook, line and sinker for it, and then all of a sudden he's saying, Joe, you shouldn't be thinking these things. Thought you were a Christian. Why are you doing that? He's the one who comes back. Well, no, enough is enough. No more. This far. No more. He's not crossing over anymore. And you and me, we make the decision. We are not crossing over either. We are staying on the side of truth. And we're going to remain there with truth, where there is hope. He wants you to stay in a place of hopelessness. We get help He wants you to remain in a place of being helpless. We find worth in his love. He wants you to be unworthy and stay in that unworthiness. He just wants to destroy all of the life that is yours in Christ Jesus. He doesn't care about you. He cares about the life that you could have if you were to be bold enough and brave enough to stand on the side of truth. I believe that for me, fraudulent activity is not an option in my life anymore. I got a wake-up call when my bank contacted me on that, and I saw how subtle the enemy is trying to get into our lives to cause havoc and to bring destruction. Well, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. And I don't want you to have it either. I don't want you to be passive about this and think, it's okay. You know, it'll get better in a week. No. Be who you're meant to be. Use what's in your account. Use the authority. Use that. Wield the sword of the Spirit. See the truth for what it is and see the deception for what it is. And stay on the side of truth. God so needs you and me to be where he wants us to be. And I believe that he's calling all of us today to be on guard, to be alert, to be watchful, to resist the enemy and not allow his fraudulent activity to enter into our hearts, minds, or emotions anymore. I believe that God showed me in my life that that is my decision and my choice whether fraudulent activity is allowed to be there or not. Fraudulent activity will cease when I decide it will cease. It's my choice. Because if I open the door to it, then why should I be surprised that havoc ensues me? Why should I be surprised? We know better. We are not, Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 2, I think, that we are not unaware of Satan's schemes. But we are aware of Satan's schemes because of godly wisdom. Are we using our godly wisdom? Are we using the things that's already ours, thanks be to Christ Jesus? And I just want to close with this, that you need to remember that you're not fighting for victory, but you're fighting from victory. So today, you determine in your heart that fraudulent activity is finished, and that you're not having it in your life. It's your choice. But do you know what? For the kingdom of God to advance, we need to be alert and we need to be watchful. Is it so that his kingdom can come here on earth? And it's coming here on earth through you and me. We are the ones that God is using. We are the vessels that God is using. We are the clay jars. And yet we are full of heaven itself. We have got the answers to everything because we've got the one who is the answer. And our answer is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.